You see, today, folks, the devil is trying to destroy God's Word, whether it be from inside the church house or outside the church house. Don't take me wrong again. As I said a while ago, I'm not trying to take and to say somebody's lost that does this necessarily. But I'm making the fact the devil will use anything he can to destroy the Word of God. We have people taken today inside the church house, supposedly, inside a so-called church. They'll take and they'll stand up and they'll attack the Word of God. And they'll say, oh, this word's wrong. They'll say, oh, that verse shouldn't be there. Oh, they say this should be worded this way. Or that should be worded that way. They'll take and they'll stand up, even in some Baptist churches, even in some good churches, if you will. If you want to go that far, I don't know about that, if they're doubting the Word of God, but I'll leave that alone. Even in some so-called more conservative, fundamental places, they have begun to take and to question and to doubt and to cast, well, this or that when it comes to God's Word. Folks, there's no well this. There's no well that. Don't take and try to not increase the value of God's Word that He has taken and magnified, that He has taken and lifted up, that He has taken, if you will, and increased the value of. Don't you take and try to decrease it. Don't let me take and try to decrease it, if you will. But instead, let us lift it up high. Amen. The royal banner given for display. Take and lift up the Word of God this morning. Don't take and decrease it, but magnify it. Some today take and they'll do it more subtle. We know that the devil's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We know that the devil's subtle. The Bible tells us that. He's sneaky. Amen. He has many wiles, as the Bible says. Amen. He's got a lot of different ways. He'll take and he'll do it outright from outside the church. He'll try things like what I just mentioned inside the church. But then he'll also try to take and do this even from the so-called more educated. He'll take and he'll say things like this. Well, you know the Bible. It's the inspired Word of God. I say amen there, by the way. You know the Bible. It's God's book and we need to stick with it. And it's true. Everything is just true in God's Word. And by the way, I would say amen right there with that too. But then they go on to say something of this nature. The Bible is God's Word. But it's lost something down through the years. Wrong. God said He'd preserve and He'd keep His Word. He's magnified it. He's increased its value. It's not decreasing. It's not like the stock market. It's not in a recession. Amen? It's not in the depression. You in a state of recession and depression if you ain't magnifying it. Amen? But then they'll maybe even some will take and they'll say this. And this is the ones that have grown as a pastor. As a pastor, I've been told in God's Word to have oversight over the flock that God's given to me. And I not as a Lord, but as a loving shepherd, an under-shepherd, under the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one of the ones that concerns me the most, that I see more and more nowadays. You see more and more people saying, well, oh yeah, the Bible's God's Word, and yes, we believe it's inspired and it's inerrant and it's infallible. And boy, that lost world, they're attacking God's Word. But then they'll take and get up and read from this version of the Bible or that version of the Bible, or they'll take and put in quotes in their articles, so-called Scripture, but yet you don't even know what Scripture it come from because there ain't no Bible that's got the Scripture like that. Come on! You don't believe in the inerrant, inspired, infallible. You don't believe this book's God's Word because you're taking and changing the words. You're making them whatever you want to make them. May the Lord help us today to realize that we need to take and stand on the Word of God. God's magnified it. Don't just say you stand on it and then quote from 16 different versions that have different words, and the people that's reading and looking and trying to follow along in church as you're reading can't even figure out where you are. That happened to me a while back. I was in a church. I went there because of a certain special situation and things. I normally would have never went there, but I went there, and I was sitting there, and the preacher got up to preach. And it was at least a so-called Baptist church. And the preacher got up to preach, and he began to read from 1 Corinthians 13. And folks, it looked exactly nothing like the Bible that was in front of me. I could not tell what verse he was on. I could not tell where he's at. if you will. And I know that's a more extreme version, if you will, when it comes to trying to explain the way people are doing with God's Word, but one jot, one tittle, the Bible said, is important. The crossing of the I, I mean the dotting of the I, the crossing of the T. And may God help us as His people to turn off that mess and to be careful about that stuff. Amen. And take, there's so much good stuff out there, we don't need to mess with this other stuff. Amen. Stick with God's Word. Stick with somebody who's going to magnify God's Word. Somebody that's going to tear down God's Word, whether it be forthright, outright, whether it be subtly, amen, whether it be just sounding out completely against it. We've got to be careful of those people, amen, or we'll be led down the wrong road. Because God's magnified His Word, and bless God, with His help, with His strength, with His might, may the Lord help me to always magnify His Word because He's magnified it, amen. I don't want to make little of something God's made much of. We ought to make big of it. He's magnified it. Amen. He's magnified it. But you think about today, the second thing, He's magnified His Word. But notice the verse again, for Thou hast magnified Thy Word. Notice, above all Thy what? Name. I want to stop for a second and think about this. God has magnified His Word above His name. Above His name. So, His Word is magnified, but His Word is made above His name. You see, simply this morning, Philippians chapter number 2, the Lord reminded me of here when I seen this. Philippians chapter number 2. Amen. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him." Who's that talking about? You read the verses before. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. "He hath highly exalted Him and given Him a" what? "Name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." In other words, may I stop and say this. From Philippians 2, 9 through 11, we see that God has taken and He has given the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, a name that is what? Above every name. There's some great names out there in history. There's some popular, well-known names out there in history, whether it be for good or for bad. I think about if people, I'm afraid to mention names, but if I mention George Washington, there's thoughts that comes to your mind. Great names. If I mention Benjamin Franklin, there's thoughts that come to your mind. If I mention Obama, there's thoughts that come to your mind. If I say Trump, there's thoughts that come to your mind. I could take and mention various names, and there's thoughts that come to your heart and to your mind. And some of those you may think is a great name in your book. Maybe some of them are in mine. But you know what? As great as those names are, some people today make a great name out of a sports player. Growing up, the great name sports player that I made much of was Joe Montana. I still love him today. I wish he could play. I wish he was, you know, could somehow turn back the clock and go out there and play again. Some people make much of sports players as having a great name. Michael Jordan. Amen. You think about a great name. But yet, some people today make great names when it comes to preachers, pastors, teachers. Oh man, he's great. Wow, they were great. Sometimes we name old preachers down through the years that God used, Dwight L. Moody and Charles Spurgeon and so on and so forth. We name great men. But as great as some of those names are, realize this, that whatever the greatest name to you in your heart, in your mind is this morning, there's one name that God has made above every name, and that name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to lift up His name. Amen. We talk about all the time, people should not take and use God's name in vain. And I say amen, they shouldn't. Amen. They shouldn't take and half use it in vain. Lord, help us. Amen. We shouldn't take, if you will, and you blaspheme the name of God and curse the name of God like people do all around us, attaching things on to God that they shouldn't, and all these things. You know what I mean this morning. I'm stopping there. But people should not take and do that. We know the Ten Commandments talk about not using God's name in vain and using God's name in these ways and things of that nature. We shouldn't do that. But people all around us, they try to tear down the name of God. They try to tear down the name of Jesus, if you will. You and I ought to make much of it, amen? And the Lord has made much of it, whether anybody else does or not. Amen. He has made much, and He has a name above every name. Amen. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Guess who still has the name above every name? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It doesn't matter if somebody thinks, oh, they were the greatest. Their name is the great. No, well, okay, that's fine. You want to think that? You shouldn't, but that's fine, because guess what the name is? Matter of fact, above every name, the name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But may I attach that on now with where we're at this morning in our book of Psalms, in the fact that God is saying that He has magnified His Word even above His own name. And so even above the highest name that God has magnified, the Lord Jesus, even above the highest name that has ever been, that God has lifted up above all the other names that one day everybody's going to bow down to, guess what has been lifted up above even that? God's holy Word. Amen. His Word is lifted above every name. Amen. Even the name that we talked about. You think about today, how is that? How amazing is that this morning? We could turn to John 1:1 and talk about how Jesus is the Word. Amen. And we could get into all that this morning. But I'm simply saying that God has made His Word above His own name. Amen. There's something great about that. This is the greatest book of all time. It's the greatest thing of all time, the Holy Bible. Amen. This morning. How great is this book? Yeah, I say it's indescribable. Amen. And I'm glad today to know that God has preserved and kept His Word down through the years. Amen. Through the Textus Receptus that we could talk about, or may I say it simply this way, to where it could be understood better by everybody, God has preserved His Word in the King James Version of the Bible. Amen. God's preserved His Word for me and for you today. Amen. I'm glad to know that. His Word has been preserved. He's above even His name, His Word has been magnified. The best thing I thought about, you know, God's book is great. It's indescribable. Great just doesn't even begin to describe it, but He's magnified it above everything. I thought about that cereal that I used to eat a lot with Pawpaw Kimball as a little kid that I used to love, Frosted Flakes. Amen. Good old bowl of Frosted Flakes. Ain't nothing like it to get the sugar rush in the morning and make you diabetic later on. But you think about the fact that Tony the Tiger, we all know him, right? He's still there on the side of the box today. And there was a saying that Tony the Tiger had about his Frosted Flakes. And I can see it on the box just right now in my mind's eye. They're great. Hey, we all know what it says. Amen. But may I say today that as great as that Frosted Flakes is, and I love them. Amen. But you know what's even greater? You know what's even greater? The Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Word of God is greater. Amen. Above every name. Above every name. It's even above the greatest name. The Word of God is above it. His Word is magnified. His Word is made above His name. But thirdly and lastly, His Word. His Word, before I give the last point, I want to make a statement to lead into it. For Thou hast magnified Thy Word above Thy name. The statement's this. There's a phrase that's used in the Bible a lot of times that we mention from time to time. It was mentioned here at the church a few weeks ago. Rightly so. And the phrase from the Bible is this. The words go like this. And it came to pass. It came to pass. And a few weeks ago, I was driving down the road, probably a month or so ago now, I was driving down the road and there was a song that come on. It's a good song if you want to look it up and listen to it. It says, it came to pass. But as I was listening to that song, the Lord spoke to my heart about something that leads into this last point. The Bible uses that phrase many times, it came to pass. And rightly so, I've heard many times people say this phrase. You know, the Bible says, and this is true, okay, that those words, it came to pass, that's in the Bible, show us the fact that, hey, guess what? No matter what you may be going through, something like this will be said, no matter what you've been going through or may go through, guess what? Realize it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. And that's what that song says that I mentioned. And as I sit there and thought about that, I said, you know, that does come from the Bible. Amen. Didn't come to stay. It come to pass. Thank the Lord. We have trials in our life. They don't last, as the song says. Amen. It didn't come to stay. They came to pass. And God will move the mountain if you ask and talk to Him. He can, you know, take care of things. I'm glad to know that things in our lives, they don't come to stay, they come to pass. They may seem like they stay sometimes. They may stay longer than what we want them to, if you will, but realize they'll pass. That brings me to the third point. Keep that thought in mind. We're coming back to it, okay? Don't forget it. We've all heard those words before, right? It didn't come to stay, it came to pass. This is a true statement from the Bible. Because things do take and pass in this world. In other words, may I put it this way, everything around us changes. Amen. Things pass, things change. Who would have thought a month ago that we'd been in the spot that we're in right now? Maybe even 2-3 weeks ago. And maybe in a month from now, we might look back and be able to say the same thing again. Because, you know, this earth and things on this earth, they're constantly changing. Everything changes on this earth practically. You think about today, that's such a true statement. It didn't come to stay, it came to pass. The Bible says in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away. But, thank the Lord for the buts in the Bible as well, but my word shall not pass away. If we took the time and you want to turn and look, you can. Mark 13:31. Mark 13:31 and Luke 21:33 has the same exact wording as Matthew 24:35. I'll read it one more time. Heaven and earth shall pass away. That's a promise. They will. That's a fact. But my words, here's another promise and another fact on the other side of the coin. This earth and heaven will pass one day, the skies. But my words shall not pass away. I want you to think about this with me this morning. The same exact verse three times in the Bible. That's very rare. Three times in the Bible. Many things on this earth will pass away, and it didn't come to stay, it came to pass. Our saying that I mentioned a while ago, which is correct and true. But I say all that to say this morning, that although things on this earth do change, and things on this earth do come to pass, and that is right, it did come to pass, amen, as we see even in those scripture examples where those words were used, where things changed. Realize this morning, and that brings us to the last point. His Word is made for all eternity. His Word is made for eternity. In other words, God's holy Word that He's made above His name, God's holy Word that He's taken and magnified, God's Word is made for eternity this morning. Amen. God's Word will stand the test of time, like I mentioned a while ago, that old hymn says in the Bible stands. Amen. His Word will stand. In times like these, we need that rock. Amen. In times like these, we need the Bible. Amen. It'll help us. It'll be our anchor. I like that old song. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. Amen. Though the sails may be tattered, though the ship may be torn, amen. Bless God. Thank the Lord that the anchor holds, amen, in spite of the storm. May I say, in spite of the corona, amen, in spite of the flu, in spite of the sicknesses, God's Word, amen, this morning will stand. May I say, if we live long enough, guess what's going to pass away? This coronavirus. Guess what's going to pass away if we live long enough? A lot of our friends, a lot of our family members, a lot of people around us. We've all seen businesses come. We've all seen businesses go, and we may see more through all these things. We've all seen presidents come and presidents go. We've all seen great people in our lives go. We've all seen evil people go. But may I say, we've seen things change. We see things in flux. We see things come to pass, and it happens on this earth. Some people have said the only thing that is consistent or constant is change. And that's true to a big point, but not completely, because God's Word, it will stand, because it's made for eternity this morning. Amen. I'm glad to know that His Word is made for all eternity. Amen. His Word will not come to pass. You will not take and wake up one morning and you say, well, that old Bible, it's come to pass. Many take today and they say, oh, that King James Bible, yeah, the churches all used to use it. That used to be the one that everybody used. That used to be the one all the Baptists used, even the Southern. That's the ones that all the independent Baptists used. Guess what? Even if all of them stop using it, guess what? You will not wake up one morning and hear God say, and hear His Word say, well, guess what? It's come to pass. God's Word's gone. It's expired. It's outdated. God's Word isn't relevant anymore. God's Word's gone. It's no longer here. May I say today, that's not going to ever happen, because God has magnified His Word. God has made His Word above His name. And God has made His Word an eternal, everlasting book. Amen. He's made it where it'll stand the test of time. He's taken and made it, if you will, above His own very name. Amen. And God's increasing the value of it. It's not decreasing. God's magnified it, made it bigger, not less. Amen. May I say today, God has made His book to where it'll stand throughout all eternity. Even when people have tried to destroy it, tried to get rid of it, tried to tear it down through the years, God has taken it in only the miraculous way that He can, and used those attacks to make it that much more magnified and that much bigger, if you will. He's made it for all eternity. I like what the Bible says. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away. We've got God's promises. We talk about standing on the promises. Let's stand on that one. Amen. Psalms 119:89 is another good verse that declares this truth, if you will, that His Word is made for all eternity. Psalms 119:89, forever, O Lord. Forever is how long? It's forever. Amen. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Amen. And even the Bible talks about laying up our treasures in heaven, not on this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. To lay up our treasures in heaven. Amen. Where your heart is, there where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. May I say today, God has made His Word for all eternity. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. God's Word is not going to come to pass. Amen. It's made for all eternity. As we close the message this morning concerning His Word, I want to leave you with two things. And within these two things are kind of a challenge. Number one, realize this fact that God has magnified His Word above everything else, even His precious name. And no matter what may happen tomorrow or change, His true Word, that is the truth, as this verse said that we read this morning for our text, it will not change. He's magnified His precious Word above His precious name. The verse in Psalms 138 made the comment, the psalmist said in there, he said, and I'm paraphrasing it, you can look back at it if you'd like to. Then I think it was in verse number 8, he made the comment. He said, even in the midst of trouble. Guess who's there with us in the midst of the trouble? The Lord is. It was in verse Number 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. For thou hast shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Though we walk in the middle of trouble, guess what? God's word stands. He's still there. You see, today, these are troublesome times. And the days ahead are going to be more troublesome, probably. But you know what? His word will stand. His word has been magnified. His word has been made above His name. His word is made for eternity, and it'll stay, and it'll stand. The question is this, before we move to the second thing in closing, will we make much of His word in our lives? Will we make much of His word when we talk to others? Or instead, will we make little? Some belittle. Hopefully none of us do that. But will we make little, or instead will we magnify? The second thing this morning, I gave you that phrase, it came to pass. It didn't come to stay, we say, but it came to pass. As I thought about that phrase that day, riding down the road in the car as I heard that song, the Lord spoke to me in some unique way that not like an audible voice, I'm not talking about none of that, but He gave me a unique thought that I want to try to, if the Lord would help me to explain at the end of this message, to tie all this together. The second thing I want to leave with you this morning is this. That phrase, and it came to pass, we think about it being that things don't in our lives and on this earth stay. That they change. Things do pass. But I want to stop just for a second and break down that phrase in the last 2-3 minutes. Think about it word by word. And I hope the Lord can speak this to your heart like He did mine. And it came. And it came. What came? Well, the conjunction and, right? You look before it and you see whatever it was that was being talked about. That is the it that came. Let's say that you take and you have some trial or something in your life. Let's say it's the coronavirus stuff that's going on now. Let's say it's the economy. Let's say it's a job loss. Whatever. It came. Have you ever taken and heard somebody make a statement like this? And we even preached about this last week. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why is this happening to that person? They're Christian. They go to church. Why did the Lord allow this? Why is the Lord allowing the coronavirus? We talked about that last week. Listen to last week's message. Amen? But can I give you another thought? And it came. Rather than just saying, hey, you know what? God brought these things and they'll pass. Coronavirus will pass. They'll be gone. They'll be gone. That's true. Lives long, it will be gone. Think about the phrase, and it came. Why? Why did these things come in my life? Why are these things happening? It came to pass. Don't jump on the bandwagon of it. It didn't come to stay. No, no, no. Listen to what the Bible is saying. And it came to. Whatever it is that you're facing, I hope the Lord can speak this to your heart. Whatever it is, realize that it came. And God's in control of everything. People ask a lot of times, why did God give me the coronavirus? Or why did God cause me to lose my job? Or why did God do this? Wait a minute. Let's finish the phrase. And it came to. Yes, God's in control of. He's sovereign. He allows everything. We know that. Sometimes it's due to our actions, and sometimes it's due to the sinful earth we live in, a lot of times, as I mentioned last week. But think about the phrase that's used a lot in the Bible, "and it came to." Why? To pass. I'm trying to say this morning. I'll put it this way to you, and you may have to sit back and selah and meditate on this for the Lord to help you understand. But I believe this, that phrase is really speaking more toward this thought that the Lord showed me, although the other is very true and very good, valid point. And it's correct scripturally. I believe this is just as well as true, that the Lord brought or allowed whatever that has came, if you will. Why? He brought it so that it could pass. In other words, He brought it for a purpose. He brought it for a reason. He brought it to accomplish His will. And He brought it only for a little while, that the once His purpose could be accomplished, that it might pass. You see, and it came. Why is this happening to people? Well, it came. Rather than it didn't come to stay, it's going to come to pass. Rather than that, why don't we just say this? It came to pass. God made it come. It came for a reason. The Lord allowed it for a reason. And then guess what happened? It'll pass. Today, may the Lord help us to realize that He's in control. His Word, it's magnified above His name. His Word is made above His name. And His Word is made for all eternity. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You today for everything that You've done. Thank You for Your Word. I pray today that You would help me to make more of Your Word in my life, to read more of Your Word in my life, to hide more of Your Word in my life, and to stand up more for Your Word in my life. Help me to make much of Your Word in front of my family, in front of my church, my co-workers. Help me to make much of it and to magnify it. Help me, dear Father, today to stand in Your Word and stand on Your Word and allow Your Word to do the work in my heart and my life that You would have it to do. And dear Lord, when things do come in our lives, realize, dear Lord, according to Your Word, they come for a purpose, for a reason, and allowed by You. But dear Lord, may we learn the lessons, do what You need us to do, follow You, and it came to pass. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.